All right, folks, we'd like everyone to, and particularly Mr. Harris, if you could reconvene, please. That's an inside joke. Okay, so could you introduce the next item, Mr. Harris?
So the next item is item 8, and Lisa McCann will present her drought report update to the board.
Actually, as usual, I'm just going to take questions. I didn't prepare to make a presentation per se. I did want to give you an update on one item that at the point of publishing is different than current status, which is the local agency formation committee in San Luis Obispo County approved the Paso Robles groundwater basin management, the opportunity to go to vote to form and fund the water district to manage the Paso Robles groundwater basin.
And the other update on that one, too, is that the county of Board of Supervisors has not renewed the urgency ordinance within the Paso Basin, although the Paso Basin was just designated as a critical basin a few weeks ago. Questions?
I do. Lisa, just I'm curious whether you have any knowledge of this. I know that the Cuyama Basin, which is designated as critically in critical overdraft, I know that Santa Barbara County concluded some study a year ago or 2 years ago that shows that there's like 35,000 acre feet annually of overdraft. Have you heard anything through your contacts or meetings how this is going to get resolved? Because from what I'm hearing from Santa Barbara County staff is this is a no-win situation. There's simply no way that we can bring this basin into sustainability. This isn't enough water coming into the basin, and there's already too much being extracted. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, no, the answer to your question is no, other than what I've reported here, but it puts it a little bit more on our radar screen to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much we can actually do about it, right?
Mm. Nope.
Just kind of watch it happen.
Not at this point. We have to wait for the clock to run, according to the Sigma legislation, the Sigma law.
Yeah.
So at this point, they have till 2017, because they are a critical basin now. They have till 2017 to form an agency, and then till 2019 to form a plan. And if they don't at that point, then I think at that point it'll be up to the State Water Board to decide, along with DWR, what further actions are necessary.
Yeah, and does the Sigma even speak to the possibility that a basin may not be able to be brought into sustainability? Because I don't think it does.
I don't think so.
It kind of assumes that goal is going to be met somehow.
Correct.
But clearly there are situations where it would be impossible unless you actually stop people from withdrawing groundwater.
There are other examples in other states. Say New Mexico, for example, many of its basins are in the same situation, and they recognize that they're basically mining groundwater. They limit the number of withdrawals. The state engineer limits the number of withdrawals, but there's no, I don't think, any attempt to bring the basin into balance. There's just a recognition that they're going to mine the water. So I don't have an answer for you. I think right. We'll have to wait and see. Okay. But you do bring up a good point, and that is that since our last meeting, the Department of Water Resources did release their updated list of critical basins, and we had four additional ones, four new ones, identified in that group, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Dr. Hunter?
Hi, Lisa. Thank you. And I really appreciate the It's kind of an evolving format here that I think the drought report is starting to fill out in ways that we're hoping to kind of just consistently track on certain particular locations, communities where we know more is going to happen. So I appreciate that. Often these reports come through and you're giving us kind of a placeholder, and I appreciate that. So I have two questions for you. One of them concerns the Castroville Community Services, and I know we have Pure Monterey coming up with an update a little later, but I'm not clear on the second paragraph on page 7 of the staff report. Mentions that because of the water shortage potential for Castroville, the returned water from the proposed Monterey Peninsula desalination project is going to be directed to Castroville, and I'm not clear on what that means. If you know,
again, I got this information from newspaper articles and websites from these agencies, but I think the issue is related to where the water can be replenished, and that it has to stay in the basin, so that providing it to replenish the basin near Castroville has the advantage of meeting that, as well as providing critical water in a community that's needs it, as opposed to on other parts of the peninsula.
So Castroville contributes water to the wastewater project, and so it really both. Paul Schutto, the GM of PCA, will be here along with Dave Chardeboin from Monterey County at 1:30 to do their presentations. So although Paul's presentation is Pure Water, Dave's is not. It's about Salinas Maintenance Channel, mm-hmm. or Salinas River Maintenance. But we certainly can ask him those questions. There is a 45-page agreement that they have worked out among the parties about how this water is going to, you know, where the water is coming from. There are multiple phases, how the water is going to be shared. Needless to say, it's amazingly complex.
Well,
Castroville provides water. Castroville is entitled to part of that water back. I'm just not sure how they're going to get it. And it is evolving, you know, as the situation moves forward and as we have to wait and see on the drought. So I would suggest that you hold your question for that until they get here and they can provide you a very, very accurate answer.
Yeah, I think the context here, though, and the reason I raised the question, is that my understanding is that the well levels are dropping at a faster rate than they had anticipated in a prior, you know, planning strategy. So I just wondered, you know, what that, knowing where the desalination project is in its many fits and starts, I see that as a solution for Castroville as kind of a long-term strategy. But I think what I'm interested in the drought report is where these urgencies are developing, and are we engaging? I mean, we're aware of it. I have heard from community members that, you know, the projection is they could be out of water by the spring. If we have heavy rains, I don't know what that means. But, you know, I'm guessing that they're on the list of folks we should be hearing from or helping to connect them with the Division of Drinking Water. Those steps, if those steps are taking place, that's the kind of thing I would be interested in knowing about.
Okay.
So maybe that would be something to follow up, Lisa, to make sure. I know we're doing our best in staff support to make sure the communities are aware of the Division of Drinking Water and their role. So I'm guessing Castroville is on that list. The only other question I have for you, and this will not surprise you, I'm just wondering, Los Osos, if you have any other developments. I know we're expecting the court approval of the plan, and I know there were some deficiencies in that groundwater basin plan, including a failure to include a timeline. And so I don't know if we've seen the interim, if we've commented on it, if there is a timeline in it now, and the approval incorporates the timeline. Do we know anything about the timeline?
Well, the what they just sent, we just got. In fact, they just took their item to the Board of Supervisors. I just got a copy, so we have not looked at it. They are supposed to go to the judge mid October with it, and so we are tracking that very closely. And Ms. Kively, I think it's Kively, who is part of the one of the water districts out there in Los Osos, she does send me regular. She's very good about sending me regular updates. And we've made it very clear to them once the court settles this, assuming it does, that we would like them to come to this board and make a presentation. I have spoken to the chair about where this board might go with this issue in the future, assuming that things do not turn out for the better, and it is something that we can discuss. It does mean I've talked to Tom Howard at the State Board about it. It does mean a commitment of resources, significant resources on our part for several years, but it does mean that if the community fails to get a handle on this issue in a timely manner, this board can move to dedicate resources and to begin the process of forcing the issue.
Additionally, a little bit more specifically, so the court did approve a stipulated judgment, which includes accepting the basin management plan, and there's currently going to be a public hearing in October for all the for the community, for property owners in the community, to review the stipulated judgment and to understand specifically what the suggested remedies are, what the function of the Basin Management Committee would be, what their authorities would be. So once that happens, then it'll go back. Then the court will, again, you know, verify that that's the appropriate course to take and launch their implementation of their management.
Okay.
And they did recently send out to non-participants a notice that they were moving forward, and if they wanted to, now was the time to participate. So they are, I think that was one of the criticisms, was they left a number of well owners who are not part of the adjudication process out of the process, so they are reaching out to those at this point.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, that was one of my criticisms. Yeah.
And the description of the planning is very detailed about how those entities, those individuals, would be treated or able to be included or tracked and protect their water rights, et cetera.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I'm glad to hear the report's been released.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
And I am going to attend that hearing.
I might see you there. I might see you there. Okay.
Something to report next time, perhaps.
Thank you.
Just for the record, would you mind providing an update on the California Public Utilities Commission's desal here in the Monterey area and the recirculation of their EIR and their joint review now with NOAA and the Monterey Bay Sanctuary's EIS?
I'm going to let Paul Sciuto tell you about that later this afternoon.
Okay.
Because I'm sure he knows in much more detail than I do.
I didn't see the desal as part of his piece, so I wasn't sure if it was going to be part of that piece.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know, but I think Paul can answer your question.
Yeah.
I mean, they're.
I don't really know very specifically what the status is, but
yeah. We'll ask him if he, can comment.
Actually,
and if you could remind us that, then at that time, that would be great. Thanks.
Mr. Harris, so with respect to the stipulated judgment in Los Osos that we expect to be entered at some point, after that happens, what tools do we have to affect any change thereafter? And I mean,
so it all depends on the. I mean, we have to give them a fair opportunity to implement their plan and to monitor whether or not it's making a significant difference in halting seawater intrusion and preserving the basin. If it doesn't, we could ask the State Board to initiate a 2100 hearing, but it's been made clear to me that to do so it would really, the field work would have to be done, most of the work would have to be done by our staff, and we would then hand that off to the state board, who would then actually carry out the water rights hearing, because they're the ones that have the authority to do so.
So there's no way to work through that judicial process to get the stipulated judgment amended or revised or updated?
That's a legal question. I'm not a lawyer.
You know, Jessica?
We're not a party to the
right.
ISJ, that process, so we can't force it to be amended.
I mean, and not even using the word force, do we have any ability to request that it be amended?
Not really. Thus, we did send a letter to the judge previously, and it wasn't well entertained. So I would expect if we sent a future letter, it might also receive the same response of nothing.
Okay. I have some thoughts about that. Maybe if we get to that point, we could talk about that. Lisa, Cambria, I see it's on our list, and with the permit, I think I've heard that they've got their plant kind of up and operating, but they did have some problems with vapors or odors. So I think what's interesting about that, and it might be good for the rest of the board at some point to learn about that, is that, you know, we frequently lay out permit conditions, you know, based on our best professional judgment as to what we think is going to happen, based on what consultants tell us and, you know, what our staff either agrees with or doesn't agree with. And then I've seen this just a few times in my tenure where actually something doesn't go as well as we expected. And but the permit, you know, has built into it provisions to deal with that scenario. And I think we're in that case.
Oh, I can probably answer that better than Lisa, because I'm more involved, I think, on day-to-day basis. And staff, we have been working with them on a number of fronts,
okay,
working with them as they try to optimize the performance of their wastewater treatment plant, which they brought in a new operator, and he's doing great work, apparently, as they plan to build and upgrade their existing plant. They're going to be building a new plant that'll provide a much higher level of treatment. As far as the recycling facility, which is out at their disposal field, we were out there just a couple of weeks ago touring that, and we are working with them on a couple of fronts. One is we're trying to get them out of the pond, the Title 27 pond, and working with the city or community of San Simeon, who has an ocean outfall, it's just a couple miles up the road, to transport via pipeline their RO reject water for disposal to get them out of the pond, because the pond's been one of the areas of contention with the community. I am not familiar with and have not heard, and John Robertson's here. I don't know if John has or Harvey, but I have not heard of any odor issues at the out there. I was out there, and there's nothing. So I'm not quite sure where the odor issue came from.
I don't recall.
Go ahead.
Did you?
And we also have them. We're scheduling them for the November meeting.
Okay.
To come in and give and we'll have a staff update, and they'll be coming in to give you an update on where they are in the process. They are, my understanding is, they're getting ready. The plant is not running right now. It did run for 3 months during the test phase, and they are getting ready to restart that plant shortly. They're just waiting for their water levels to get to a point where they can start it under their permit. Mm.
Yeah, and Mr. Harris and I, you know, discussed this, that we had made a commitment also both to our board and to the community when we voted beginning of the year this permit based on the emergencies that was taking place, to at the end of this year to have a comprehensive, you know, feedback to see what's working, what's not working. So that will be scheduled for the very last meeting of this year, and we will carve out adequate time, you know, to be able to have a good detailed understanding of the lessons learned. In regard to the odor, I think some of the concerns were
Maybe I shouldn't characterize it as noxious odors, but it was more of a, you know, a brine, salty smell, remembering that very nearby is a campground from State Park. So, you know, the location is that, you know, there's not a whole lot of a buffer. So that's what my understanding was.
A minor point, but to clarify, the issue was the noise from the blowers on the ponds.
That was supposed
to minimize odors and spray and...
So they've now encased those blowers on three sides and made adjustments to them, part of the startup and test phase of the facility.
Okay, so on my left, any other question? My right, we're good? All right. So thank you very much for your report.